I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host
Niñas Bien Podcast. We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to Where To Go. I'm James Atkinson, Senior Brand Manager at DKI Witness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, Senior Editor at DKI Witness.
And welcome to Where To Go, where every fortnight we find out more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best. And today, Lucy, we are heading over to Vienna.
Yeah, we are. I'm looking forward to this one.
Have you ever been?
I've never been. I really want to go. I'm ashamed I've never been, actually, because it's really
far. I am too. I'm ashamed of many places we haven't gone on the podcast.
Yeah, that's very true.
I think this is the evidence to listeners that we don't travel in the travel team as much. We make great books, don't worry. Vienna is one of those places where I always think of it as being like quite wintry, like Christmassy wonderland, and you know, very much that kind of like almost the center of like kind of 19th century European, like kind of artistic, cool and bohemian sort of lifestyle.
Yes, that's how I think of it. I think of it as being very grand and has produced amazing artists and thinkers, because
composers,
you know, you've got like Freud and Klimt and Mozart are all, and Arnold Schwarzenegger are all from Vienna.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about that last one, these great sort of like behemoths of global culture have kind of originated from Vienna, and it's a fascinating city with a fascinating history, and I'm just really, really interested to find out a little bit more. So we do have a great guest today. We're joined by Edia. I'll talk a little bit more about her in a second. But first, listener, I just wanted to, a little bit new for this episode. I was trawling through the office today, the other day, and I have an Eyewitness Vienna guide to give away to you guys, as well as a copy of our new book, Europe by Train. So in order to win, all you have to do is go on social media, tag at DKIWitness, and tell us what our guest Adia is talking about here.
You're actually in a plane above the city. It looks like a green heart, really, in the middle of the city.
And you can find the terms and conditions on our website. So on with the show, Lucy.
Yes. Okay, James, tell us. Tell us more about our guest.
Okay, so hailing from New York, Adia Trischler has lived in Vienna for almost 2 decades, working as a video and creative director, image consultant, fashion editor, and host of the Vienna Tourism Board's official YouTube series. Adia has become one of the city's most recognizable creative leaders. So welcome, Adia.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome, Adia. So as usual, we're going to begin with learning a little bit more about Adia, followed by her all-important recommendations of where to go and insider knowledge of Vienna. And then we'll hear about the best time to go, plus how you can travel more thoughtfully when visiting the city.
Adia, tell us how you sort of first came to live in Vienna.
I actually came for love. My father of my children, who I'm not with, but he's still my family and my best friend. We met in New York, and I had actually been living in London for a bit. I studied in London, so I'd been going back and forth between London and New York for 5 years. And one day he came to London, was like, I'm taking you to Vienna. I'd never been. I didn't speak the language. I didn't know anything. And I just took a suitcase, went from London to Austria, and I stayed.
Wow.
How lovely. Yeah. Did you experience any culture shocks? Actually, kind of that move from London to Vienna, was it that drastic?
Yes, I think, you know, I did, especially moving someplace and not speaking the language at all. It was an incredibly humbling experience. It's something I wish almost everyone could have and go through. You learn a lot about yourself and you learn a lot about communication. But I have to say, it's been so long now and I've been traveling a lot that I actually have a situation now that when I come back to the States, I feel like a reverse culture shock as well. Mm. So those things that were, I think, shocking in the beginning, it's almost harder to remember what they were. It's more distant now because I think a lot of that just has to do with you adapting to a new space and a new version of yourself, especially in another language.
Yeah.
Cool.
How long have you been there now, dear, then?
17 years.
So you're well and truly a local then.
Really, it's been 17 years. It's a little bit insane.
So 17 years ago, when you first arrived in Vienna, how sort of easy was it to kind of like find a community or like group of friends or ingrain yourself into the city?
I think it was easy and not. I'm not sure if when I first went there, I went with that feeling or idea of that's what I wanted. You know, I went there freshly in love. And then about a year after that, I had my first son. And I started working also immediately. So, you know, I was coming from New York also. So innately, as an American, I'm a hustler. And I came and I thought, I need to do something. I can't just like sit here and not do anything. And I think I was so focused in the beginning on just working and learning the language and being a wife and a mother. It actually took me quite a bit to find my community. That happened when my son got a bit older and I had been working. And then you kind of find that you are in it and you don't know when or how, you know? And it's through so many different ways and experiences. And yeah, there's just a lot of people there that have mean. Now I can look back at 17 years, that means so much to me. And I can't say it was an immediate thing that happened. You know, it was over time in different ways.
It's kind of organic. It wasn't forced in any way. It just happened.
And it has to happen. I think that the pressure we would put on ourselves to go someplace immediately and fall right in, it's not even fair. That's not allowing the space to change with you and for you to change with the space. You need to get to know yourself. And I even find that now since, you know, I speak, obviously I'm fluent in German and particularly like dialect, and I don't speak dialect, but I understand it very well. I have great relationships with elderly people because I buy a lot of secondhand clothing. All my clothing and furniture is secondhand. I'm getting it from a platform. I get everything by foot, like, and I'm sitting down and talking to these people, and I keep meeting and visiting a couple of older women and one older man, and I make a point every few months to check in with them and just to have coffee with them. And these relationships, now that even my German has gotten better, I just appreciate them. One of my really dear friends, she'll be 69, and she's an artist in Vienna. And I mean, I couldn't have had a relationship like that with someone 13 years ago, really. You know?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Adia, obviously then you became a mother out there. You have sort of ingrained yourself in the local community. What, and I'm assuming then having kids has kind of kept you there. But what is it that you do love about the city? What is it that really does keep you there?
There is, and I'm actually getting part of it as a tattoo that I'm working on. There is a phrase on the Vienna Secession building, you know, this artistic movement that had Klimt, and it says in German, every age deserves its art and every art deserves its freedom. And that is what Vienna gave me. Time. Time to create, to learn, to be a mother. I'm American, right? So we have this like crazy mentality. What is vacation? What is time off? What is that? But I could breathe. I became an adult there, basically, you know? And I could not even creatively do the things that I do had I not been given this great gift of time that definitely gets taken for granted in the Western world today.
Do you think that's something that's unique to Vienna? Because Vienna does have that rich kind of cultural, intellectual heritage. Do you think that is unique to Vienna then?
I think, you know, there is a belief in Vienna. There is a comfort, a relaxedness. You're not supposed to work too hard or much. You're not even really supposed to talk to people you meet about work. You know?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, no, it's a little bit rude. Like, you know, you'd like, they're like, you talk to people, where'd you go? What are you doing? Like, da da da. But not like, you can meet people and talk to them for a while, not really know what they do.
Wow.
And yeah, that's actually something I really appreciate. It's not like you're, who this person is isn't based upon like what kind of a member of society are you. It's actually like, how do you enjoy to spend your free time? And that's really interesting that it's, you know, you're not, I used to, when I first moved there, I'd have people cancel meetings on me in the summer. They're like, the weather's too nice, we're going swimming. And I, as a New Yorker, I was like, what? You can't do that. Like, I was like, what is the swimming? Like, I'm like, swimming in debt? I don't understand. But I think it made me slow down. And that is not something that is a part of city life in general. That's definitely not something that's a part of Western city life. But that is, you know, the whole cafe house culture as well. It is about taking the time to read and to discuss and, you know, to really like build these moments and these ideas. And those take time. Vienna is something that I think it reveals itself over time. And that is part of the mentality.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess especially if you've come from not just New York, but also London as well, two cities famous for the rat race and so on, then that must just be a bit of a shock at first, and then actually like really, really liberating over time. Well, I really want to find out much more about Vienna now, so we're moving on to our next section, which is all about the best things to do. To kick things off, we're going to ask you, Adir, to give us a quick fire tour of Vienna. We're going to name a few categories and you have to suggest just one thing to do. So are you ready?
I am, I think.
Okay. No pressure. So I'm going to kick off with your favorite view of Vienna.
Kobenzl, the hills over Vienna.
Oh. Tell us a little bit more.
Kobenzl is, you know, the hills of Vienna. Vienna is surrounded by vineyards. It's why it was actually settled originally. And if you really go up to the hills, and it's surrounded by the forests and the vineyards, you just get the most amazing view of Vienna and beyond. The entire city, while you're sitting in nature, eating good food, maybe drinking good wine at sunset, best.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Oof. Love a sunset. Perfect. And actually, then you've said, you've kind of hinted at the next one, which is your favorite thing to eat.
Favorite thing to eat? Okay. Austrian desserts is a really big thing. And Topfenknödel. They're like these like curded, it doesn't sound good, curded cheese dumplings, but it's nicer than that. And they're like, have these sweet breadcrumbs, and you kind of only get it around a certain time of year, which is winter. And there's normally like a marmalade or some sort of like fruit with it, but it's so good. I can't even describe it. I go from restaurant to restaurant. Like, do you have this? Is it the time of year?
Sounds delicious.
One problem with this podcast is we always do it when me and Lucy are a bit hungry.
And that's it's the end of the day here and I'm thinking of dinner.
That's made me instantly hungry. Right, so on a similar note, your favorite thing to drink in Vienna?
Elderberry spritz with water, just elderflower and water in the summer.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Really refreshing. Yes, please. And then, Adia, your favorite day activity?
Riding my bike. I'm a big bike rider. It's really, I'm a city person, it's my form of transportation. There's great bike paths, and where I live, which is kind of central, you can really take a bike path that takes you along the Danube Canal. Then you go up there and you can take that through the Prata, which is this huge park in the center with a lot of woods, up to the actual Danube. You just do that all day. I do that with the boys. I have speakers on my bike. It's a lot. I really do.
Sounds epic.
Okay, and I think this might be a tricky one with Vienna, but your favorite museum or gallery?
Well, it's probably a cluster. There's the Bezirks Museum, which they are a cluster of every district in Vienna, obviously because it's an organically grown city, has their own museum that handles the history of that district. These museums are amazing. They really have strange times that they're open, but the curators are super knowledgeable. The way that the one that's in the 14th district, for instance, it's like it goes deep into the prehistoric times in that district and what the flora and the fauna looked like. But there's models, and then they take out whole street sections of older parts of the city and recreate that So you like you're on train tracks. You're on it's amazing actually, and you feel like as you walk through the different rooms, you stepped into a different era of Viennese history. And I think because it's not so judged, it's not this idea of high art, they get a lot more freedom in the curation. Yeah. And yeah, they're really spectacular. I love them.
How many in total are there for each district?
321. 22.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And each with their own characters, too. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Excellent. You've passed the quickfire round.
With flying colours, I'd say.
With flying colours, absolutely.
Well, I was going to do you. So then to kind of get to sort of more of this, you've set us up perfectly. But what are some highlights in Vienna that listeners really shouldn't miss? Sort of what are the top things you would recommend listeners see or do?
I mean, I guess everyone sort of knows or talks a lot when they come to Vienna, they anticipate doing the first district, the palaces, all of that stuff. It is, obviously, it's a phenomenally beautiful city. I really recommend going to some of the outer districts. Vienna is super easy to get around. I call it a half an hour city. Realistically, even with some of that, it might take you, 45 minutes. Public transportation is cheap. It's 24 hours on the weekends. And you can go and walk everywhere. It's also incredibly safe. So to get sort of an idea, for instance, the 10th district, which no one really thinks about, but it's really contemporary, vibrant right now. So there's so many amazing galleries, performances that happen there, clubs, parties, new restaurants, social initiatives, and it's super diverse and young feeling, and it's really easy to get there from even, you could be by Stephansdom in the center of the city, take the U1 and get out at Räumenplatz, and then you're there in like 20 minutes, really, not even 15, 20 is a lot, but... And you feel like you're in a different world. And so I think that's something that people can easily, even just by taking the train, get off someplace random, walk around, and you feel like you're in a different city. And yeah, I kind of wish people would do that.
Yeah, each of the districts have their very, like you've almost hinted at it with the museums, but each of them have their own identity, their own spirit, their own history.
Well, Vienna originally was just the first district, and it was surrounded by these walls, you know, and that was it. All the other districts, for a while, the numbers are at which point they joined the city. And so they were villages, and parts of those only really came to the city during World War II. There are parts that are outside of the city now, close to Neuburg, which were part of Vienna during World War II, and then they went back to being their own districts. But I'm pretty sure the final one, Leasing, really just joined definitely in that part of the 20th century. And so they were kicking it as their own village for a really long time, you know? And because of that, there is this really strong Bezirks or district identity that is very, very vibrant and still very much alive. And it's something that I think that people can easily check out.
Cool. And how about, you have mentioned it, but coffee house culture, that's huge. And when I think of Vienna, I think of these really grand, beautiful cafes. Can you tell us a bit about that, if you recommend any in particular?
Yes, I love coffee, and I love coffee houses. I'm like, I'm a very big coffee drinker. And because of that, actually, I once had a friend who had been traveling all over the place, an artist, and she said the thing that she loved about Vienna, and she wasn't from Austria, she's like, it's an easy city to be poor with dignity in. Because you can go into a coffee house in this grand setting. A coffee, a melange, is never really going to be more than $2.50, maybe $3.10.
Wow.
If we're getting crazy now, like in the more expensive touristy places, people will complain. $3.50, it's out of control, you know? And no one's going to rush you. No one's going to be like, you need to stay here, like you need to get out, or what else are you getting? And so you can really stay there in this beautiful setting. There is, which is my favorite. So it's not really a coffee house, but it's easy to get to, and it kind of falls into that, which is the Palmenhaus as well. You can get a really great coffee there, and it's just beautiful. You can sit there for hours. And why I'm almost blanking on individual ones is because I don't know if I have a really favorite one I like to explore. It's actually one of the things I do by myself is kind of check out new ones. And I don't normally do the places that are close to my house. Because I know, like, you know, I'm local and I love these people and I do, but it's actually, I kind of coffee house hop. I have time alone, I do a lot of walking tours of the city by myself. And that is one of the things that I do, is just go to districts and parts of districts I haven't been to, especially when the weather's nice, and sit. Because there's beautiful cafe houses everywhere. everywhere, everywhere. It's not something you need to really search that hard for.
So say it's a beautifully sunny day this afternoon, and you know you're kind of like heading out, and you're like, I'm gonna go coffee house hop. Which district are you going to?
First District is probably the easiest, some of the oldest and most well known, with some really, I mean, if you want to like history. And almost every coffee house in the First District has a deep history, might still be being run by the same family that opened it. So there, it's just a place where there's a lot that are really concentrated. But also in the 6th and the 7th, there are some really famous ones as well, which is cool if you want to be in those districts and you kind of want like a bit of a younger, less uptight feeling. Less uptight. Yeah. I love the First District, but it is a bit more of that pomp, you know? And so there's some really well-known ones that have a bit of a looser... They're all loose, though. Every cafe house, no matter how beautiful it is, there is a looseness that is involved. There's characters in there. It's like got its own story. So, yeah, I would say First District, if you're like, I want to like just easily find a place. 7th or 6th. Yeah. And outside of that, almost anywhere, you like can't miss them.
Excellent. It's really good to know. And past the coffee houses, any sort of like best kept secrets around Vienna that you'd be willing to share with listeners?
Flea markets. I mean, ooh. I really don't shop at stores, and I haven't in years. And that's a lot to do with Vienna. Like, and even sometimes when I'm doing the show, people are like, where do you get your clothes? We should do a shopping episode. I'm like, how do you do that at a flea market? Like, I don't, like, you can, though. There are so many. Obviously, there's Naschmarkt on the weekend, which everybody knows about. But there's even a website, flowmarkt.at. Every single weekend and during the week, there's flea markets throughout the city. Every district outside of that has just markets. Almost not every district, but most districts have like fresh food markets, stalls, kind of the social environment. There might be other antiques being sold there. So the markets of Vienna are worth checking out. And the flea markets, if anyone's coming and being like, I want to actually go to a place where, yes, there are really expensive antiques, but there's still things that are not really expensive. And you can find some, got ones like, a Jugendstil tiara for like 60 euro or something, which is all out of like wrought silver at Naschmarkt. And it's beautiful.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a thing. People sometimes go to Naschmarkt Saturday morning after clubbing on Friday. Like, so, because they open, the vendors get there really, really early. And I know some of the vendors as well. They've been doing it for years, you know? And you just go like from being out at night to the flea market and see what you can find.
And then, Adia, how about sort of day trips or places to visit in the surrounding area around Vienna? Can you recommend? You mentioned vineyards, for example.
I'm a big nature person. I hike a lot. I climb a lot, actually. Really close to Vienna are the foothills of the Alps. And there's one peak called Schneeberg. And that means snow mountain. And there's always snow there. Even in summer, there's snow on the peak of this mountain. Yeah. Maybe not enough to ski, but it's like you can actually see it from places in Vienna. So I love going there and hiking and just kind of feeling like you're in a completely different, you're in the Alps. And there's the Mirafelle, which are waterfalls that are outside of Vienna as well. I do a lot of hiking and walking tours. There's a lot of hiking tours that you can take from in the city that will lead you to hiking tours outside of the city. And there's going to be ruins, castle ruins right outside of Vienna. Tons, just everywhere in Niederösterreich, because this is where the nobility used to live, obviously. And so some are occupied, a lot are not, but you could just be wandering on a path through the forest, and then there's this like castle. It's kind of what I do a lot. Look at a lot of ruins with my kids. I think they are probably over it.
I just love the idea. You're walking just out of the city, castle.
Yeah, another castle.
Well, I think Adia, you've given us a really great sort of sense of Vienna. I particularly love that section on cafe culture, like, wow. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about sort of how visitors can explore Vienna a little bit more thoughtfully, and also some of the things upcoming on the calendar that visitors can look forward to.
Steeped in culture, Vienna puts art, music and theatre at centre stage. Whether you want to gaze at Gustav Klimt's masterpieces, catch the unsurpassable Vienna Philharmonic, or simply savour a time-honoured tradition of coffee and cake at a centuries-old cafe, your DK Witness Vienna Guide ensures you experience all this celebrated city has to offer.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, Adia, how can any future visitors just be a little bit more thoughtful when visiting Vienna?
I mean, I think in general, thoughtful traveling has to do with, obviously, there's things you want to see, but allowing a lot of room for things to just happen. I personally try not to travel in such a way where you're like, what can I get the most out of this? This is what I'm doing. It's, you need to let the place, like I said earlier, bring something to you. So I would recommend just wandering, because it is a safe and easy city to wander around. And I think that makes you more thoughtful. It makes you more present. It makes you more aware. You get to see kind of how people live and not just your idea of what you want the city to be for you as a tourist. Really, it's easy to bike around. It's easy to take public transportation. It is not a city you need, really, not that, you know, we love our taxi drivers, but you don't need to take a taxi, like, you know. And I think just being thoughtful, it ecologically, Vienna is definitely up there in terms of, like, some of the lowest emissions rates in the world, really trying to renaturalize the city. And so they want people to walk and to take bikes and everything like that. And I think that's how you can be thoughtful, is to be a part of that direction, that very green direction that the city has been going in. Just taking kind of your time.
Is it quite easy to pick up a bike?
There's city bikes, obviously, everywhere. You can just, like, rent bikes like that. There's stores if you want a nicer bike. Like, you know, Prata, the bigger parks, you can just, like rent a bike there. Praz is basically this gigantic forest in the middle of the city. If you're actually in a plane above the city, it looks like a green heart, really, in the middle of the city. And in the middle of that forest, other than there's like an owl, what do you call that again? What is this? You call this in London? Hampstead Heath, a heath.
Yes.
So there's like an owl. There's one of those in Prata. But there's also this crazy amusement park that's really old, that has this remarkable history with it as well. So you can really just rent a bike and feel like you're in the middle of a forest, and then feel like you're actually in a more organized park, or go to an amusement park or anything like that. So yeah, it is an easy city to get around kind of bike wise.
Excellent. And Adia, sort of best time to visit? When would you recommend visitors head to Vienna?
It depends. A lot of people come for the Christmas season, because we are really well known for our Christmas markets. And I have to say, I used to be a little bit of a Scrooge and curmudgeonly and not liking Christmas. But wow, that city really got to me. Like, I will, even myself, I'll be at Christmas markets, like, ooh, like drinking some cocoa, living the life. Because it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It really, the city is gorgeous. It looks like a winter wonderland fairy tale. But summer is also amazing. Lots of festivals, lots of like free festivals, music. There's even just like regular like street festivals that you might just happen upon. You get to kind of see the younger part of Vienna, I think, in the summer. A lot of people just don't even leave Vienna in the summer. Some people do that are older with kids, but a lot of people, like, you just kind of want to be there. The weather's really nice. It's easy to get someplace swimming, and there's a lot to do.
I was going to say, you've got huge parks, you've got lots to do straight outside of the city. Yeah, you can bike around. It sounds almost like a summer city, which I associate Vienna with winter, like the kind of classic, like, as you say, Christmas scenes, you know, the like New Year's concerts, etc. But yeah, that's really interesting.
A lot of people really lament leaving the city in the summer, actually, because it really comes alive in a different way.
Cool. And you've hinted on like kind of festivals and stuff. And are there any particular events that you're looking forward to in the calendar in Vienna?
In the fall, every year, there's like an architecture week. I love architecture. It's really deep. The Architecture Museum, they kind of pair with and partner with a bunch of different building and unique architectural heritage sites throughout the city that have an open house and let you just explore. And that's everything from residential buildings to, for instance, there's the Vertuba Church, which is this amazing brutalist church. And they'll have an open house, and you can really go there on that day. Anyone can visit the church and just really take a look at it and this is like for really amazing, you know, there's this social housing development, basically all the social housing projects and stuff, which were a lot were built during the 20s and the 30s. And these are in terms of like architecture and just unique architecture and living and residential architecture, you don't really get to see these normally because they're still lived in, but they open their doors and you can see these spaces then. And so that happens, I think, normally around September or October every year. And that goes on for a couple of weeks. And you can go all throughout the city and just see really amazing buildings and kind of go into them and learn about them. That's one of my favorite weeks.
I think that's a don't miss, listeners. I'd definitely be doing that. Adir, before we started this recording, you mentioned you're a filmmaker and you were telling James and I a bit about a film you've got coming out this summer. Could you just tell listeners a bit about that?
It's not the filming, you know, I'm the host for the tourism board show, Vienna Now. And I've been, you know, I host it. I also, for the past few seasons, I write the scripts and do the research and a lot of the pre-production as well. And we kind of always go into not only the history, but also what's going on in Vienna Now. Well, that's why it's called Vienna Now. And we're doing an episode this summer on the Empress Elizabeth of Austria, Sissi. Really famous. A lot of movies have come out about her the past year, a Netflix series and everything. But I've kind of taken it very, very personally, deeply, to kind of do right by this woman and sort of tease apart the mythology from her, kind of trace her steps throughout the city. When she was in the city, where was she? And sort of get to know her as a human being who's been a very, maybe in some ways I feel very similarly to her. She wasn't from Vienna. She became sort of a public figure while she was there, felt really watched, but also still had these places in the city that were really dear to her. And was so I've been writing this and working on this episode, and this episode will be coming out this summer. We'll be filming it next month, and I'm really excited about this kind of a new view on a almost overly talked about historical figure.
It sounds brilliant. When will that be out? Because I definitely want to watch it.
Pretty sure that will be coming out July, August.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, listeners, do look out for that. And we're almost at the end of our podcast, Adia. You've given us a really, really great sort of eyewitness view on Vienna. But I just wanted to ask kind of yourself, do you have any kind of upcoming travel plans? Or is it kind of Vienna all summer from now on?
No, I mean, we normally, every summer, we're normally actually local, and then we go to a farm in Salzburg that we stay at and work on in the farm in summer. But this summer, I'm taking my kids on a road trip in the Southwest in the United States.
Oh, cool.
A little bit. Not like, it's going to be hot in some places, but we're probably going to do a bit of Route 66 and then visit some friends in California and, you know, see the Four Corners, a little bit of the Grand Canyon, a little bit of that. So they're going to finally do, you know, they're American Austrians, but they don't know America that well. So I was like, we're doing it.
Oh, nice.
That sounds awesome.
History.
Oh, no, that was like rattlesnakes, black widows, bears. And they're like, oh my God.
Well, you should have told us. We could have got some books over to you. Well, have a lot of fun with that idea. And it's been absolutely fantastic to talk all things Vienna with you on the podcast. And yeah, hopefully you've inspired some Vienna adventures yourself as well.
Come out, visit.
Yes, we will do. Absolutely. I really want that coffee, all the coffees.
Oh, yeah,
but thank you so much. It's been a real joy to have you on the pod.
Thank you again. Thanks for having me.
So a huge thank you to Adia. It was a wonderful episode. Real good, like, kind of flavor of Vienna, I thought, and like kind of getting that kind of spirit of the city really, really down.
You're so right. She really, really captured the spirit of the place, didn't she? She really created an ambience, which was wonderful.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, going back to how we started the episode, there's a lot that everyone kind of knows about Vienna in terms of its cultural capital, but loads that I learned there about, like, kind of, you know, its parks, its kind of
flea markets,
its outdoor space, etc. It just sounds like a wonderful city to kind of walk around in. So certainly back on my list for sure.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. And you can, listener, you can find out more, well, basically follow Adir's adventures by going onto YouTube. So if you visit the official Vienna channel, that's at Vienna, Adir's videos are under Vienna/now, and there's loads of great ones. I'm just scrolling through now, and I can see the top one is why Vienna's coffee culture is so special, which obviously we've given you a little flavor of today, so you can find out even more about that on the YouTube channel. So Lucy, do you have any idea where we're going next?
No, I don't.
always the best when it's a bit of a surprise.
Indeed.
But we shall see you for another episode in a fortnight's time. And until then, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And we shall see you very soon. Where to Go is a podcast from DK Eyewitness. It was produced by Julia Baker, presented by Lucy Richards and James Atkinson, with the help of Bella Talbot. For more information about DK Eyewitness, follow us on social media at DK Eyewitness or visit dk.com/eyewitness. And please like and follow the show. And if you have time, leave a review. Your support means so much to us.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.